Dr. Deming was a trained statistician, but became well known for his work in quality manufacturing. His experience was used during World War II to assist the United States in an effort to improve quality of manufactured goods. After the war, he was sent by the U.S. government to help Japan rebuild their manufacturing. There, he became well known for the remarkable insight that he provided the Japanese people. At the time, products made in Japan were not considered quality at all. In fact, they were cheaply made. They were similar to now, where we flip an item over and see made in China, and it doesn't denote quality. In this post-war era, the Japanese company owners asked Dr. Deming, how long will it take to shift the perception of the world from existing paradigm that Japan produced cheap and shoddy imitations to one of producing innovative and quality products? Dr. Deming told the group that if they would follow his directions, they could achieve the desired outcome in just 5 years. Few of the leaders believed him, but they were ashamed to say so and would be embarrassed if they failed to follow his suggestions. As Dr. Deming told it, they surprised me and they did it in 4 years. Now, if you think of quality, of course, Japanese products may come to mind. If you think of quality cars, you probably think of Honda or Toyota. If you think of televisions or quality, you might think of Sony. Many quality cameras are still produced in Japan. When you go to buy something with your hard-earned money, you not only consider, of course, the price of the items, but you also consider the quality of the item. You want to make sure it's going to last and give you years of trouble-free service. Many of us, of course, will pay more for an item than if we know it will last longer, especially if it's something that we intend to keep and use for many, many years. We look for quality. If you think of home appliances and quality, you might think of Sub-Zero or KitchenAid or JennAir or Bosch. When you're shopping for an item, you look for a high-quality brand. I, like you, have probably bought many dishwashers in our years of home ownership. If there's any appliance that you look for quality, I think it's a dishwasher. It comes to mind. You need it to clean well and, of course, not leak unexpectedly on you and not leak and ruin your kitchen floor. I've had good luck with KitchenAid, and in recent years, Bosch has yet to fail me. It cleans good. I guess in the past, I've had good luck with KitchenAid as well, as I remember it. But recently, I've gone to Bosch. It cleans well, and in nearly equally important, it does not leak prematurely. I feel all dishwashers, I think, leak in time, but I've yet to hear of a Bosch dishwasher fail before its time. If you've had a Bosch dishwasher fail, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want my hopes dashed with a Bosch dishwasher disaster story. I'm always on the lookout for quality appliances. I think many of us search for quality food, quality cars, quality appliances. The list goes on. God also is looking and searching for quality. This leads me to the question I'd like all of us to consider today. Are we high quality Christians? If God were in a market for a Christian, would he look for your brand in the store? Would he think, I've had some experience with that brand. I want another one just like it. It always works when I need it, and he's never given me a moment's trouble. Or on the other hand, flip side of the coin, would he think, I've had nothing but trouble with that kind. It keeps breaking down, it doesn't work the way I want it to, and it requires lots of maintenance. I never want one of those in my family. It could ruin more than just the kitchen floor. Again, I ask you, are you a high-quality brand? I, like Dr. Deming, will tell you that if you follow some steps, you too can achieve the desired outcome sooner than you think. Dr. Deming had 14 well-known steps to improve quality in manufacturing. Not all, but many are applicable in our process of becoming a quality Christian. You see, God is in the business of growing, we could say manufacturing, as it were, quality product that is ready and fits into his family. So what is God's quality standard, we could ask? What kind of quality is he looking for? Some of you are probably ahead of me. You're probably turning or thinking about Matthew chapter 5. I'll read it to you. It's in the Sermon on the Mount, a message that was given early in the ministry of Jesus Christ, and it sets the foundation. It sets the stage for his later ministry. It sets the stage for Christianity, sort of a Magna Carta, as some have described it, for Christianity. The exact statement by Jesus Christ in the last verse of chapter 5 states, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." It's Matthew 5 and verse 48. If you're reading the King James Version, or reading the King James Version rather than the New King James Version, it says, "Be you therefore perfect," or "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect." Some of the various translations use the progressive tense of that word. Instead of "the," they use the word "become." You shall become, or "you become you perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect," or "grow into perfection." So regardless of whether you look at it as a direct command, or that you must be this way or grow into this, regardless of which way you're looking at it, it of course is a high bar. Perfect is a high standard. I guess the question might bear with us, have we ever had a perfect appliance? Perfect, of course, is an ultimate in quality. I'm not sure what a perfect dishwasher would do. I have some ideas. My wife, Tammy, probably has some different ideas. I presume it would probably clear the table, dispense of its own soap. I presume it also includes a self-unloading feature. That would be nice. My pickup has a self-unloading function on it. Not as nice. In fact, Michaela and Sydney McGee Chambers drove my pickup once and it self-unloaded on them in the middle of an intersection. They blamed it on the truck. I blamed it on their driving. Their exact words were, "A bunch of dad types got out and put the plywood back in the truck, Dad." I've never seen a dishwasher unload, so maybe a self-unloading dishwasher would be a perfect dishwasher. We're supposed to be like our Father in heaven, and that, of course, is an awfully high bar for us to try to reach and try to meet. If we look up the word perfect in a lexicon, you'll find that it is the Greek word teleios, T-E-L-I-O-S. It has a rather wide range of meaning. Teleios can mean complete, finished, having reached its end, mature, grown up, being unspotted from the world, not lacking any moral quality, having no defect whatsoever, being truly genuine, being a grown person or being an adult. Again, there's many definitions. The King James narrowed it down to three. It either translates it a full age or mature person or as being perfect. So perhaps our stage is set. I presume none of us feel like we're perfect yet. It's something that we need to work on. Since none of us are perfect yet, we need to strive to have or to improve our quality. To the manufacturing world, quality can mean different things to different people. You might think of a product that's reliable or durable, or it has the right features. The common word in manufacturing is fitness for use. That means the product does what it's supposed to do. As I support Mr. Willoughby, I try to do what I'm supposed to do and be useful. When you buy a product that's meant to be used once and thrown away like a paper plate, you of course have one standard. While a set of china that you plan on keeping for the rest of your life will have a different standard. Usually when you're buying something that is supposed to last a long time, you are more concerned about quality. In fact, I overheard a couple this last week. The wife was thinking about getting a set of plates that all matched that would serve 8 to 12 people. The husband of the man said, why could we not, for those occasions, get the nice chinette, you know, the heavy-duty quality paper plates? They, of course, were talking about two totally different definitions of quality. It made me smile, one in part because my wife and I have been there before. I have one idea, she has another idea. Different pages, different ideas, different uses, possibly having different fitness for use. Since God called us and purchased us, actually, what is our intended purpose? Simply put, we are supposed to be fit to become sons and daughters of God. God intends to keep us forever, so he wants us to be high quality, and thus we should be striving to improve our quality. Dr. W. Edwards Deming had 14 points, as he said they were essential to produce high quality. Some of those principles don't apply to us. Before we launch into some of those applicable points in our spiritual life, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 3. We'll read several scriptures here in 1 Corinthians 3. We'll see that God also uses this analogy of building a product with quality steps in mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll start in verse 8. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are God's co-workers, we are God's field, we are God's building. Verse 10, by the grace God has given me, I laid the foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. Verse 11, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, or costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Verse 14, if what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. So quality is important to God, and we're reminded there that there will be quality control tests ahead. Again, Passover and the spring holidays are just around the corner. It has me thinking about myself and my quality and my improvements. Let's see what the industry does to improve their quality, and we'll see if any of these points apply to us spiritually. If you're taking notes, you can put in your notes point number one. It is institute modern methods of training. There's no substitute, Dr. Deming says, for well-trained workers. Again, point number one is institute modern methods of training. Would Christ agree with that? Again, we're making an analogy. Christ is the management, and we would wonder how he feels. In our discussion today and in life, the basis of being a quality Christian is to be Christ-like. The world today does not have that as a foundation, and it drives me nuts at times. I hear the media say that this Christian group did this or this Christian did that, and I want to holler out and say, no, that's not a Christian. Christ would not have done such a thing. Back to our point, institute or apply or start methods of training. What does it mean to you and me? I guess the question is, how much time do we spend in training? Large companies, of course, spends lots of time in training. It seems the larger the company, the more training they have. What about our spiritual life? Are we using modern methods of training? Again, we're blessed, I think, in the church with all kinds of training materials. Videos, maybe your jam, maybe podcasts. My wife enjoys the daily scripture email. There's paper booklets. There's the PDF version online. Perhaps you'd read direct from the Bible more than written church-produced material. I like that. Someone told me recently, he says, be careful about spending too much time reading blogs, reading articles and books about God's way of life, as it is their interpretation and it has their ideas and it has filler material. Of course, Life, Hope, and Truth Presents is maybe the exception to that. I don't wish any to offend any of the presenters that might be in the room with us today. The Bible, though, is God's inspired word and his preserved truth, unadulterated with modern vernacular thinking. My point is that we have a lot of training material, a lot of quality methods to be trained in this way of life. I'm trying to get you to think about how you are training yourself. I don't know if you've thought of it that way. Again, with Passover around the corner, I'm trying to evaluate how my training is. Again, I educate myself on a daily basis on various tasks and various technical issues. Do I do the same on my Christian way of life? Various Bible translations, dictionaries, and word studies, and concordances and commentaries, as well as books on history, science, and other fields, can give that helpful background information to facilitate better biblical insight if properly used. Remember, though, that we should use them only as a supplement to magnify the Bible's meaning. They should never be used to replace the Bible, which alone is the foundation of knowledge. You can put in your notes John 17:17. It says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So in other words, study the Bible. That helps set us apart as a highly trained Christian. The word or the Bible is the real training manual. I think it's easy to forget that at times, at least those of us that are younger tend to forget that. It's an admirable trait that I see in our senior members, our senior citizens. I go to their houses or go to your houses. When I go to your house, I see your Bible out on the kitchen table. You are reading direct from the Bible on a daily basis. Keep up the good work. You are setting a good example for me, and you're setting a good example for others. Before we move on, let's read 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, we'll read verses 16 and 17. I have it starred in my Bible in the margin. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, reading from the New King James Version, says, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God." Maybe that's a memory scripture for you. "It is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." I like that verse 17. If you do that, if you use the scripture, you will be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Darby translation says it well, but slightly differently. It says, "Every scripture is divinely inspired and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that man of God may be complete, fully fitted to every good work." Again, I realize that some may think comparing our journey of spiritual growth to modern manufacturing is a stretch, and I'm seldom a fan of such analogies, but I feel that it makes us think and work on improving ourselves. So point number one is institute modern method of training. We have lots of choices in this day and age. Find a method that works for you. Point number two, let me read it to you first and understand the concept. I hope you can understand it. Don't write it down yet. I will simplify it for you. Point number two is cease dependence on mass inspection. Require instead statistical evidence that quality is built in. It's a mouthful, I understand. I'll read it to you again, then I'll simplify it. Cease dependence on mass inspection. Require instead statistical evidence that quality is built in. I simplified it in my notes as require evidence that quality is built in. If you're taking notes, require evidence that quality is built in. We need to identify our weaknesses and our temptations. That is our defect prevention. If we can identify our weak areas in godly obedience, and we have them in different areas, we can be on guard and vigilant in our self-inspections. The point says to cease our dependence on mass inspection. Because we too, if we look at ourselves overall, 9 times out of 10, we'll say we're doing a pretty good job overall. It's easy for me, I know, maybe yourself as well, to get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, oh yeah, Mr. Rehor, looking good, looking real good. I don't know if you do that or not, but I do that. If a car manufacturer just looked at the car overall, it may seem like good quality. It's a nice paint job. It starts every time. The interior trim looks nice, but that's not enough. That's mass inspection. They must have written down data that is collected over time. That is the only way that they can prevent their defects. That is the only way they can prevent their defects rather than simply detect the defects after the car is sold. God wants us to see our potential weak areas before we sin, before we fail, before the proverbial car door falls off at 80 miles an hour. That is our defect prevention rather than defect detection. You may have your own way. My way to confirm I have statistical evidence that quality is built in is to write down the areas that I need to work on. You've heard it from me before that I'm a list guy. I write down what areas that I have issues with. I write down my goals to improve on, how I can improve to keep the Sabbath. What I want to do differently this week that I'm working on. I had a similar list in the truck a couple weeks ago. Danielle was riding with me. She jumped in the truck and looked at my list. On my list, among other things, was great sermonette. She looked at Dad and says, well, you got a great sermonette? I says, I'm working on it. I think it was a Thursday or something before the Sabbath. Dr. Deming's teachings and philosophies are best illustrated by examining the results that they produced as they were adopted by the Japanese industry, something that they were continually working on. Let me share with you this example. In the mid-1900s, Ford Motor Company was simultaneously manufacturing a car model with transmissions made in Japan and made in the United States. Soon after the car model was on the market, Ford customers were requesting the model with the Japanese transmission over the model that held the U.S.-made transmission. And they were willing to wait for the cars and trucks made with the Japanese transmission. Both transmissions were made with the same specifications. Ford engineers could not understand the customer preference for the model with Japanese transmissions. Finally, Ford engineers decided to take apart the two different transmissions. The American-made car parts were all within the specified tolerances. On the other hand, the Japanese car parts were virtually identical to each part that was supposed to be. So in other words, if a part was exactly a foot long, plus or minus an eighth of an inch, the Japanese parts were all within a 16th of an inch. This made the Japanese transmissions run more smoothly and customers experienced fewer problems. Engineers at Ford could not understand how this was done until they met Dr. Deming. So they examined their product to determine where quality was not being built in, where it was, where it was not. Job realized that this examination process was important to God. During one of his trials, he laments that he was being thoroughly tested, thoroughly examined. Let's turn to Job 7 and verse 17. I'd like to read it out of the New International Version, but Job chapter 7 and verse 17 through 19 says, what are human beings that make you so much of them, that you have given them so much attention, that you examine them every morning and test them every moment? will you never look away from me or let me alone even for an instant? So Job here was feeling tested or examined. You can put in your notes Lamentations 3 and verse 40. It says, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. So this testing process or this examination process is a good thing. Happened to Job. It's encouragement in Lamentations to do it ourselves, to examine our ways and to test them and get back on track where we find ourselves going away. So the second point, examine and confirm quality is being built in. Our goal is defect prevention rather than defect detection. Point number three, constantly and forever improve the system of production and service. Again, that's a manufacturing term, but it applies to us as well. Constantly improve the system of production and service. It's probably one of the most important principles of quality, I think. There's two principles at work here. One, you need to continually strive for improvement. How are we doing that in our personal lives? Are you doing that here in February? We tend to examine ourselves more during Passover, but we need to make sure that this isn't the only time that we examine ourselves throughout the year. And the second point is that we have to, at times, change the system. You have to challenge or change the way you live sometimes. You can't do things differently. You have to just sometimes live differently to do the right things. Again, that's talking about progressing from milk of the word to the meat, growing in grace and knowledge. Small changes called improving lead to bigger changes called transforming. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, let's turn there if you don't mind. 2 Peter 1, we'll start reading in verse 3. Talks about improving ourselves or building on what we have. 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 3, says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world throughout. Verse 5, but also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness. Again, this is a list that we should be working on. To godliness, verse 7, to brotherly kindness, add love. For if these things are yours, and you abound in them, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble. It's a familiar scripture, but it's a good one. One that makes us think that we need to add to what we're doing. Fourthly, we should adopt a new philosophy. Defective products must be unacceptable. Defective actions must be unacceptable for you and me. In our Christian pursuit of quality, the million-dollar question is sin unacceptable in our lives? Is there some aspect where we have become complacent? As we grow up and age, it's easy to say, that's the way I am. I've made some improvements. I'm better than my dad or I'm better than my mom, and that's the way I am. My encouragement for you is to not accept defects in yourself. Adopt that philosophy as our baseline. Do not accept your shortcomings as normal. We all see them from time to time, personally or maybe in private. We know it's a defect. My encouragement is to stop accepting that we have to have that defect in our lives. We might hear or we might say to ourselves, well, my dad or my mom, they were a hothead. I'm always going to have that tendency. I don't know if you noticed that, but I rationalized that. I made myself feel good that I've lessened the defect. I've accepted that I'll always be a hothead, but I'm better than my mom or I'm better than my dad, better than my family because they were really bad. Stop that. Do not accept the defect. Determined to make that family trait skip a generation, or better yet, fix the problem so that your child doesn't have the same defect. That's the exciting point. We can build a better product going forward, but it has to start with you. It has to start with me. Tammy and I went to the park yesterday with Danielle and Wesley and Piper. As I helped Wesley on a slide, I tried to teach him what not to do. I broke my arm on a slide in fourth grade because of a defect in my understanding. It's a story of another day. I'll share with you privately. I'm trying to make him or teach him to do better. There are certain internal problems that we must determine that if they are defective and if found defective, we must fix. In manufacturing, it might be expensive to fix, but there are internal errors and they're better fixed before they become external defects. Likewise, we have internal errors and can have external defects. Perhaps you saw in the news last week, according to Forbes, Tesla is recalling nearly every car sold in the United States. Over 2.2 million cars due to some internal errors. Some of the errors are within warning systems. Some of them are with door locks. Others with steering issues. But all defects are being addressed. Addressed before they become external problems. Like car manufacturing, our defects need to be addressed. If we do sin, we need to address it as soon as possible before the problem grows. Let's turn over to James chapter 1, verse 1. In that same article, Tesla, on one of the issues, has only seen three of those issues. I thought it was admirable, but that they are doing a recall after seeing three problems. James 1 and verse 1, we'll read a number of scriptures here. James 1:1, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Again, trials determine if we have defects. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Again, that's the appraisal or the evaluation phase. Verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect. There's that word again. Complete. In other words, have high quality. That's what we're talking about today. Lacking nothing. Verse 4 goes on. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. In other words, have a recall, go back to the manufacturer, and ask for improvement. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of a sea driven and tossed by the wind. Skipping down to verse 12, it says, blessed the man who endures temptation. In other words, prevents it from taking hold. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say, he is tempted, or when he is tempted, that I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Again, that's an internal failure. Then, When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. It would be called an external failure. Brethren, it's easy to focus on our jobs. It's easy to focus on raising the kids, taking care of the hubby, taking care of the baby, taking care of the business, or keeping the boss happy. We are on earth, though, to do one thing in actuality, and that, of course, is to grow in godly character. How are we doing in that? Adopt the philosophy that you do not accept defects in yourself. Additionally, we can shift our focus to long-term growth, not just short-term. Again, that's point number five. Shift our focus to long-term growth, not just short-term. Companies can make more money in the short-term, but for better success, of course, they focus on long-term growth. Sometimes we compromise and don't do what's right because it's the easy thing to do at the moment. You might say it's the cheaper alternative. What is cheap now can be very expensive in the long run. Again, the dishwasher example I started with, a cheap dishwasher can ruin your kitchen floor. Likewise, doing the right thing may seem expensive, but in the long run, it will pay off. Let's notice what Christ is like. He is, of course, in it for the long haul. If we are to be true Christians, to be Christ-like, let's see the attributes that Christ has so that we can emulate it. John 10 and verse 10, let me read that to you. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." So again, it says, I've come to give you life abundantly. That's God's long-term goal for us. He is playing the long game with us. We should be doing the same. Let's turn to Romans 8 and 8, 8 and verse 18. It's a short scripture, but Romans 8 and verse 18. The title in my Bible says, "From Suffering to Glory." Romans 8, 18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The question is, are we focused on the short-term plan, or are we in it for the long haul? Christ is concerned about our quality for the long term. We, of course, should be as well. If you're a quality Christian, you should be focused on long-term growth. Are you a quality Christian? Last point, point number six. Now is the time to gain quality and reap the rewards. In other words, fix your problems as soon as you can. Philip Crosby, it's another quality expert I've been studying about. He became famous in the 1980s for his assertion of quality is free. That was his motto, his thoughts. The name of his book was Quality is Free. Prior to that time in American manufacturing, the usual thought that quality was too expensive and was only available in expensive products. He showed that in most cases, or in many cases, it was actually less expensive to produce a high-quality product than a low-quality product. You can actually save money by spending more on prevention and appraisal because you can greatly reduce your failure costs. It's less expensive to prevent problems from ever occurring than to fix a problem after it occurs. The same is true in our lives, brethren. Even though it may seem easier to skimp on prevention costs now, it's more expensive in the long run. It might be embarrassing or it might be uncomfortable to stand up for what is right now. It can be expensive, of course, giving up a job for the Sabbath. It may seem like you are paying a steep price for not running with your friends on Friday night, but in the long run, the cost of the lack of obedience is more than you ever dreamed about. No Christian looking back ever thought, you know, I wish I would have compromised in that situation. I regret not letting my quality standard be there. Rather, we look back and regret the times that we compromised that quality standard. I wish I had paid the price back then instead of producing shoddy obedience. Now is the time, brethren, to work on our quality. You never know when it's going to be too late. An ER doctor, a 25-year veteran of the ER, shared his insight with me this last week. I painstakingly wrote it down this morning because I think it's important to all of us. He said, and again, this is an ER doctor with 25 years of experience. He said, life changes in a second. People wake up in the morning and think they have a whole life ahead of them, and something happens. He says they have an MI, a heart attack, a stroke. They pass away. They get paralyzed. And it's the tragedies that we remember how that we're supposed to behave. He says it's the tragedies that we remember how we are supposed to behave. When tragedy occurs, there are nights that we are nicer to our spouse, nicer to our parents. That's when we hug our kids or our grandkids a little bit tighter. But why do we have to wait for tragedy to behave the way that we should every day? He continued and said, we need to be mindful, he's just quoting him, we need to be mindful and remember that life can change in a second and to act accordingly. Brethren, now is the time to gain quality and reap the rewards. Brethren, we don't know how much time we have left. Now is the time to determine if your product, if you, is quality in God's eyes. We are tested from time to time to determine that. The Bible has many stories about men and women being tested. Of course, Daniel and his young friends passed their test when they were faced with the decision to obey God or to obey man or obey their boss. King Saul failed when he did the opposite of what God told him to do. Of course, King David passed most of his tests, but also failed some big ones as well. Our tests include doing all that God says to do or not to do. When God taught the Israelites his way of life, he did not force them to live that way. Rather, God told them to choose how they were going to live. He told them that obeying him would bring blessings in life, and of course, disobeying him would bring curses and death. Let's turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy 28. You probably know where I'm going, but Deuteronomy verses 28. We'll start reading in verse 8. Deuteronomy 8:8 says, the Lord will send a blessing onto your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. Again, Deuteronomy 8, verse 8. We'll read a number of scriptures here. Verse 9, Deuteronomy 28, verse 9, says, the Lord will establish you as his holy people as he promised you an oath. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him, then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. Verse 11, the Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground in the land he swore to your ancestors to give to you. Dropping down to verse 14, do not turn aside. Here's the encouragement for us. Do not turn aside from the commands that I give you today. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right, following other gods or serving them. Some rewards for obedience. You can put in your notes Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. God encourages us to make good choices and reap the rewards. Again, that's why I have this point. Now is the time to gain quality and reap the rewards. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19 says, therefore choose life that both you and your descendants might live. Again, God pleaded with his chosen people to live his way so that it might be well with you when you do what is good and right. That's Deuteronomy 12 and verse 28. So today, you and I are God's chosen people, and God wants us to live his way of life so that we will have a good life now and forever. I like the phrase there that we read, that blessings will overtake you. Deuteronomy 28, verse 2, God makes an incredible statement about blessings not just coming our way, but literally overtaking us. I don't know if you've ever been out on the water and you see the rain coming in the distance. Might be a hot day. I've been both in a kayak and also on a sailboat in different times when this happens. You see the rain coming. You think you might be able to get out of its way, but the rain comes and it overtakes you. You can't paddle. You can't sail out of the way. God says our blessings will come like that. It's a real benefit of finding problems and working on them, becoming quality. We find our problems through trials in which we are forced to make changes, and we are blessed with the quality Christian characteristics if we continually work to make good choices. Again, point number 6 is gain quality and reap the rewards. The exciting thing is that if we are successfully applying these points, we will be closer to becoming part of a family unit that doesn't have any limitations. We are all working toward the kingdom, improving ourselves to stand before Christ at his kingdom, or at his second coming. I started the message by telling you a little bit about Dr. Deming helping the Japanese industries, and I'll end by sharing what is called the Deming System of Profound Knowledge. Again, we know where profound knowledge comes from. Dr. Deming was not called and did not apply any of his energies to spiritual growth as we are called to. But in one of his books, Dr. Deming wrote, and I quote, it says, the prevailing style of management must undergo transformation. A system cannot understand itself. The transformation requires a view from outside, end quote. I believe that's true. We need God's view. We cannot understand ourselves. We need God's view, his instruction, so that we can be transformed into his likeness with his help. Dr. Deming goes on to say, quote, the first step is transformation of the individual. The individual, once transformed, will perceive new meaning to his life, to events, to numbers, to interactions between people, end quote. Likewise, if we work on improving our qualities of a Christian, we will enjoy greater meaning of life, to current events, and to interactions between people. Lastly, he states, quote, once the individual understands the system of profound knowledge, he will apply its principles to every kind of relationship he will have on a basis for judgment of his own decisions and for the transformations of the organization in which he belongs, end quote. Likewise, if we work on ourselves and continue to believe that profound knowledge comes from God and Christ, we will enjoy many benefits. Our relationships will improve, both with other humans and, of course, with God. We can then use godly knowledge to make better decisions, which thus helps the organization in which we're called, an organization we simply, of course, call the church, a group of individuals that have been called for centuries to work on themselves and improve their quality to become part of God's family. We're not interested in manufacturing better cars. We're not interested in manufacturing better appliances. God is interested in us improving our God-like actions, our God or Christ-like characteristics, so that we can be called quality Christians.